right? I'm more excited about the hot tub on the deck. But if the deck ain't built right, the deck's going to fall over, and there goes my hot tub, right? That'd be sad. That'd be a sad day. I don't have a hot tub yet. If anybody like to give me one, Christmas is 2.5 weeks away. Guys could take up an offering. Amen. A couple things, guys. We're going to be spending a few weeks here. We've been in this little sub-series we started last Sunday called The Father's Reward. All right, The Father's Reward. And I want to just lay out a few principles here that we're going to be looking at last week, this week, next probably 2 weeks. I might actually be traditional and preach a Christmas sermon on Sunday before Christmas. We'll see. But three things. Number one, the secret life. This is a principle that we see here, Jesus teaching. The secret life. Our secret life with God is what really matters. It's so funny, as we were singing this morning and worshiping these songs the Lord gave me to worship him this morning. We're talking about the fire is falling and stir up a mighty wind. And it's so funny because I'm going to be talking about that this morning, but the opposite of it. So it's kind of funny how we get there. The secret life is what matters the most. If your secret life is not working, it will eventually manifest and it won't be pretty. Can I get amen? I don't know about y'all, but guys, this sermon, I am literally, if none of you were here, I would preach this sermon. Because there's someone else needs to hear it. Right here. I don't know about you guys, but I've noticed the last couple of months, really an uptick from the enemy, specifically against my secret life. Anybody else? Right? Like distractions, discouragement. By the way, I almost forgot. Wednesday night, we were all here praying. We prayed for David DeMarco. If you guys don't know, David got COVID like 2.5 weeks ago and was kicking his butt really bad. And he had to cancel two ministry weekends. Christmas is his busy time. He does a fabulous Christmas show. He had to cancel two weekends. He had another one scheduled this weekend. He's going to have to cancel. He said, man, it's going to cost me a ton of money. So we've been praying for him, but Wednesday night I felt just led. Like, you know what, I texted him. I said, man, can we call you and put you on speaker? There was about 10 of us here, maybe 10 or 12 of us here. And so anyway, we prayed for him, man. We went to town on that thing in Jesus' name. He texted me yesterday morning. He said, bro, COVID negative. I feel great. He said he's ministering right now in Detroit or something. I don't know where he's at, but amen. So we, guys, COVID is going to go away in Jesus' name. We're done with that thing. But anyway, secret life, man. The enemy, right? I felt myself personally just such an assault on my secret life, right? Distractions, not sin. I'm not talking about sin. Right, I'm talking about when it's time to get quiet with the Lord. So much junk. Just your mind starts racing around and all these things you got to do. Kids are crazy. The dog is barking. Whatever is going on, right? I had the crazy dreams, man. I'm in crazy dreams lately. It's just nuts. Can I get amen? Right? Number two, the right reward. This is what Jesus is talking about, this whole section right here. It's giving, prayer, fasting. He's saying, make sure we're working for the right reward. Right? So easy, my beloved, to get caught up in the approval of men. As I said last week, we shouldn't be intentionally dismissing men's approval as Christians, right? I've seen enough of those folks. Like, you know, I don't got to go to church anywhere. I don't got, like, dude, no. No, that's not right either. That all right? It's our approval, we need to desire this approval, right? And if we're desiring this approval, men will approve of us, the right people will approve of us as well. Is that good? See, if we look, my beloved, if we're looking for a pat on the back, a momentary ego boost, maybe even like for pastors, it's a big church, right? Pastors always want a big church. But look, if we seek the pleasure of the Father above all else, even if no man rewards us here, we'll gain access to the rewards that only heaven can grant. So I'm convinced that sometimes the devil will send somebody to give you a pat on the back. See, we always think the devil's going to send somebody to just, you know, he's going to steal from me. Yeah. But the devil is tricky, y'all. He's tricky. We don't talk about the devil a lot in this church, but he's tricky. He's not dumb. Right? He's not creative. He's just tricky. Is that all right? Number three. Hang on, one more. Let me back up here. The enemy is totally fine with you getting a pat on the back. As I said a moment ago, he might even send you one once in a while because the rewards of men will never take ground in the unseen realm. Can I get amen, right? People patting me on the back when the storm hits, you know what? I don't remember any of that stuff. Can I get amen from anybody that's been through a storm or two, right? It's good, but that stuff doesn't keep me when the storm's raging, right? Number three, the enemy is terrified. Everybody say this with me. The enemy is terrified. Let's say it again. Let's say it like you believe it. The enemy is terrified. The enemy is terrified. And just like if you watch like nature movies or nature shows and these things, when something's about to get killed, it has one last like fight in it. Right? The enemy, church, is going to bark the loudest when he knows he's about to lose. The secret to a believer's sustained success, victory, boldness, peace, joy, hope, vision, understanding, and all that stuff is the secret place. The enemy knows that if we will commit to building our secret life, there's literally nothing that can stop us. If we will build our secret life, nothing can stop you. Nothing. Matthew 6, 5 through 8. When you pray, everybody say when, not if. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Man, we hammered that last week, right? Truly I say to you, Jesus says, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Again, what did we say last week? King James Version has what? Openly. The Greek word there, reward, remember verse 5, reward is a different Greek word than verse 6. The verse 6 Greek word is a public reward. Amen. Verse 7, and when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they'll be heard for the many words. We're going to talk about that. Maybe not today. But we're going to get on that one in a moment, sometime next Sunday maybe. So, verse 8, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. We're going to spend at least 2 Sundays talking about prayer. How many people ever get confused about prayer? If I had 5 hands, all 5 would be up. Right? I'm just going to just share my heart a little bit. Verse 8, church, messed me up for a long time. Right? The Lord knows what I need before I ask him, then what I've got to ask him for stuff. Like, if you're good, then just give it to me. Right? Anybody ever think that? And I think there's some truth in that. Right? There's some truth. That's not a bad way to think, unless it's like we're acting like a brat. You know what I mean? But if we're confident that God knows what's going on, he sees what I'm going through, and he's going to take care of it, that's not a bad place to be. But I think that the reason, in a very simple sense, my beloved, that Jesus says that we're to pray, right? Ask, and you'll receive. Knock, and it'll be open. Seek, ask, and knock, right? Seek, you'll find. Ask, and it'll be given to you. Knock, and it shall be open to you, right? Your Father knows what you need before you ask him, right? All these things. But he's saying, I want you to ask so that when I give you specifically what you ask for, you know that we're talking to each other. Watchman Nee, if you guys have heard of Watchman Nee, if you like light reading, don't read Watchman Nee. Dude. I like meaty stuff. Watchman Nee is like, you need a meat grinder. You need to put that stuff to a meat grinder before you even try to eat that stuff, man. It's crazy. Y'all, yeah, it's awful. It's really, really good and totally awful at the same time. So, like, deep and thick. But he was teaching on prayer in one book I was reading from him, and he was ministering over in China. He's been dead a long time now, but One of his pastors came and said to him, I'm praying that God would give me a bicycle so I can reach more people in my villages and where I live. So watchman, he says, well, what color do you want the bike to be? And the pastor says, I don't care. And watchman, he says, well, how's God going to give you a bike if you don't tell him what color you want it to be? The pastor was basically like, what? But he prayed and prayed and prayed. No bike came, and he finally said, okay, I want a red bike. And like 3 days later, a red bike showed up. Church, I'm telling you the truth, man. God wants us to ask because he wants relationship. He wants relationship. He wants us to know that he's listening and that he cares and he's engaging, right? Because you know what we do? This is what we do. If we don't ask for stuff and good things just randomly happen, you know what we tend to do? We forget the Lord. Let's be honest. Oh, man, my neighbor's a really great person. They gave me that. Okay, or the Lord gave it to you and used your neighbor to do it. Right? Wow, I got a great bonus at work. Praise God, what a nice company. Or the Lord blessed you, and he happened to bless you through your company. Can I get amen? I would encourage you to, we're going to talk again, talk about prayer. Talking about prayer. Prayer, here's a definition. This is from the dictionary. This is not a spiritual definition. This is from the dictionary. Prayer, a devout petition to God. Number two, a spiritual communion with God. A spiritual communion with God from the dictionary. Isn't that crazy? Communion, relationship, fellowship, right? So here's the thing. Prayer is not an event. Amen. It's not an activity. It's not a habit. It's not a task to check off my list every day. Okay, prayed for 20 minutes. What's next? Should we set some time aside to pray? Of course we should, right? Because you know what? If you don't slot something into your day, no matter what it is, the chances of you getting it in is not very good, right? We're busier than we've ever been in our country. Can I get amen, right? Working, our companies are pushing us to work and work and work and work and work. Not paying us any more money, by the way. We're just working harder, right? So if we don't slot some time in for whatever we need to get done, it's probably not going to happen, including prayer, right? But if you think about this, making an activity, a habit, a task is what the hypocrites did. It was something to be done, something to be recognized for doing, something to receive public acknowledgement for, right? Wow, that guy can really pray. Right? Is there anything wrong with someone recognizing you, me, as a prayer warrior? Not at all. It's when that is my motivation. Right? Oh, wow. Because you know what? If that motivates me, then when that stops coming, I'll be discouraged. Is that all right? This doesn't mean at all that we don't pray in public, right? That's not the point Jesus is making. We talked about giving last week. He's not saying don't give so everybody can see you. Don't let that be your motivation, right? We're not going to go super deep on prayer. We could teach tons of different angles on this, but what I really want to talk about this morning, church, is that prayer is about communion or communication with the Lord. Prayer is not about talking to God. It's about talking with God. I'm not pastoring this church because I talked to God. I'm pastoring this church because I talked with God about it. Because the Lord made it very clear that this is what I was supposed to be doing with my life. If the Lord had not told me that, there's no way I'd be standing here this morning. I'd be out doing something else. Can I get amen? And you're like, well, geez, I don't feel like I got a call to ministry. It doesn't matter. Whatever you're doing in your everyday, day-to-day life is your ministry. It's where God has you. It's where God has put you on the earth to influence those people who are around you. So do you need to hear the voice of God for whatever you're doing every day, just like I need to hear the voice of God for what I'm doing every day? 100%. Absolutely, right? See, what I find lacking in so many believers in the church today is this, and I want you to write this down if you've got a notebook. confidently hearing from heaven. Confidently hearing from heaven. Again, not arrogantly. If I'm confident in what the Lord's telling me, I got no problem discussing it with someone who might not agree with me. If I'm arrogant, we're not going to have a discussion. Right? You can't tell. I know what God told me. Well, if you're really confident, then why can't we talk about it? Right? People that are that get snappy about, let's talk about what the Lord's talking to you about. The people that get snappy are really, they're showing that they're insecure about their relationship with God. Right? That's the truth. Right? If I'm willing to talk, man, let's work it out. Let's open the Word of God. Let's sit down. Can we back this up in the Bible? If God's giving you a custom word, can I back this up in the Word of God? Right? There's what we got to go back to. Is that all right? Right? Not just new believers either. Sometimes seasoned Christians, people that have been in church 20, 30 years, I really struggle to hear, man, God told me blank. Right? Think about this, guys. Not a single person in the Bible did something with what we hear today. Anybody hear this phrase, blind faith? You know that is not scriptural? Not even close. There's not a single person in the Word of God that did something for the Lord that did it blindly. God visited them. He gave them a vision. He gave them a dream. He gave them a word. He sent a prophet. Okay, every single person that did something for the Lord, they had a visitation from God first, and they responded to the visitation of God, the direction from God, the instructions from the Lord. The guy says, man, go now. Abraham, the Lord visits Abraham. Abraham's a Babylonian. He's a heathen, right? Why does God choose Abraham? Because that's what he did. Abraham's nothing special. God says, leave your people and head this direction. Go out into the wilderness. He's like, for how long? Till I say stop. Right? The Lord's not going to give you a lot of direction, but you're going to have something. Right? Go this way. Do this. Right? Cause, man, we talk a lot of times, right? You lead in prayer, not because the Lord is like, could you pretty please spend some time in the prayer room if you get around to it? The Lord visited that man of God many years ago and says, get in that prayer room right now. Get in there. And that word has kept that man in the prayer room from wanting to quit more times than you can probably count. Is that all right? What God said is what kept you. Is that all right? Verse 6. We're going to kind of hone in on verse 6 here for the rest of the morning. Jesus said that when we pray, go into your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father who's in secret. So think about this, guys. Where is the Father? Where is my Father? Where is your Father? Where is Abba? Well, Pastor, he's seated on the throne, and Jesus is at the right hand. And yeah, okay, that's a good churchy answer. But Jesus says, you want to find the Father? He's in secret. That's where he is. My Father who is in secret. Wow, I just feel this Holy Spirit right there. I don't know if y'all feel that. Think about that. Why does the enemy spend so much energy and time and resources to distract us from our secret place? Because that's where the Father is. I'll be honest with you. I've got a couple notebooks for the last three or four years. And I'm really, the Lord's been on me about this church. Like I told you, if I was the only person in this building, I'd be preaching this message. I just put a mirror up in the front row right here and just. When I do my Facebook Live videos, I'm looking at myself because that's who needs to hear it. And if you all tune in, it's cool. Right? I'm like, come on, man, get it together, bro. Let's go. But church, I need to go back and look at this, but I can tell you the truth. Notebooks that I've got, journals from several years ago, I can guarantee have got far more communication from the Lord than my current ones do. And you know what it is? Because I've gotten into a rut of like, okay, let's read this devotional. Devotionals are fine. Cool. No worries. read a couple chapters, read this. But what is God saying to me? I am standing here not because of a verse in the Bible, because God told me to. He spoke directly to me. That's what we need. And you ain't going to find that reading a Devo. There's some real good ones out there, church. You should read them. Amen, right? What we need, and you're like, Pastor, what? I try so hard to hear the word. I try so hard to hear the Lord. That's why you're not hearing. You're trying too hard. I never tried to hear my dad. I was like, hey, Dad, what's up, bro? How's it going? Can I get amen? Here's the thing, church. You're hearing the Lord all the time. You just don't recognize him. You're hearing God all the time. God cares about every single thing that you do. Everything. If you know the Lord, he is engaged with your marriage. He's engaged with your job. He's engaged with you going to school. He's engaged with your sports. He's engaged with you hanging out. He's engaged. He's talking to you all the time. All the time. It's just learning to recognize him. When I was in Bible school, this is what this guy did. Pat, the president of my Bible school said this. He said, I decided at one point in my life that every single time I've got a good idea that pops into my head, I'm no longer taking credit for it. That's God speaking to me. Because he's my dad, he cares about me. Can I get amen? I was playing golf with Mark, Susie, and I were playing golf a long time ago, man. We played golf over here at Tunxus many years ago. And I actually played decent, right? Mark, I don't know if you remember that, bro. We're terrible. We're all terrible. But I actually played decent. And I remember leaving, and I was coming back over here for prayer. It was a prayer meeting that night. And I'm leaving the golf course, and I start thinking to myself, I'm like, Lord, I start thanking God. I said, God, thank you so much. Not only did we have a great time together, just hanging out, but I said, man, Lord, thank you for letting me play a good round of golf. And this thought came to me that was this. It said, you really think God cares about your round of golf? That's so stupid. Why would you think that God cares about that kind of stuff? And I started like, gosh, you're right, man. That's kind of dumb, isn't it? And then church, the Spirit of God thundered in my heart. He says, I care about your round of golf because I care about you. I care about you. I was driving my car and it literally shook me. And they said, wouldn't you call your dad and say, Dad, I just had a great round of golf. I said, well, of course I would. And he said, then why don't I care about it? Right? Is golf spiritual? Not really. But the point is, church, is that God is not disengaged from things that we don't think are spiritual. Right? When Jesus says to when you pray, go into your inner room, should we have an inner room? How many people seen the movie War Room, right? You seen the movie War Room? That's a good movie, man. Yeah, if you've not seen it, you should watch that one for sure, right? The little old lady, she's got literally a prayer room in her house where she puts it all up on the walls. Like, should we do that if you have that room in your house? Sure, go for it. Amen. I don't. I got 29 kids, man. There's no way I got room to do it in my house, all right? It's not possible. But church, here's the thing. This is what the Spirit of God is saying to this week. Your prayer closet in your house can become an idol to you. I got to get back into my prayer closet. Dude, years ago, the Lord said to me, son, you are a walking secret place. Go into your inner room. Go into your inner room. Feel the Spirit of God on me right now. Go into your inner room, close the doors. I'm not listening to that right now. I'm not looking at that right now. Turning my phone off. Turning my phone off. Turning my phone off. Church, the world is not going to end if you turn your phone off for 20 minutes. Again, there should be a mirror right here. I need a mirror. Can you give me a mirror from the bathroom and just hold it up right in front of Nilda right here? I need to look at it. Can I get an amen, church? Thank you, bro. He'll hold it. Get a big one. This shirt looks good. I want to see it, you know. Amen. Do you guys see what I'm saying? I'm trying to give you something that will change your life. You are a walking secret place. Do you need to go into the woods and have some time with Jesus? Man, go for it. Amen. Jesus did it. stole away into the mountains, stole away from the crowds and prayed. Man, do it. Do it. But don't make that place an idol in your life. You don't need to go into the woods to get a word from God. I need to take what I built in the woods out of the woods inside me. Wow. Man, I don't know about y'all, but this is pretty good up here right now. Where is the Father? He's in secret. He's not in the busyness. He's not in success. He's not in activity. He's not in achievements. None of those things are inherently good or bad. It depends on why I'm doing those things and whose approval I'm seeking. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 19, I'm going to read a familiar story here, but I want to show you something. Again, here's what we're getting into. It's funny. All the songs we were singing this morning, it's going to kind of sound like I'm contradicting it, but I'm not. So just hear this. 1 Kings 19, verse 9. So let me give you a little bit of backdrop while they're pulling this up. This, guys, if you back up into chapter 18 of this, this is when Elijah defeats the prophets of Baal. Right? King Ahab and Jezebel, his wife, right? They're the king and queen over Israel. They're so wicked, the most wicked king and queen that they had in Israel. And because of their wickedness, the Lord tells Elijah, you speak to the sky and tell it to stop raining. Elijah speaks, and the Bible says that it does not rain for 3.5 years by the word of Elijah. And he prophesies to the sky, it will not rain again, but by my word. Man, James talks about it. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he spoke to the sky, and it did not rain. And he spoke to the sky again, and it rained. You know what James is telling us? Stop letting your personality flaws dictate whether or not you've got a secret place. Elijah was not a perfect man. He was a mess. Read the Bible. The guy's a mess. But he's walking in his position with God. Confident in the Lord. So here's what's going on, church. Elijah is now coming against the prophets of Baal, which is why there's a drought, right? And he defeats these prophets. We all know the story. The prophets of Baal build an altar. Elijah builds an altar. He says, dig a trench around it, put water on it, dump a bucket of water, dump another thing of water, dump some more water on it. It's soaking wet. The trench is filled up with water. They're worshiping Baal all day long. They're cutting themselves. They're crying out. Elijah starts making fun of them. It's a great Bible story. Maybe Baal's relieving himself. Maybe he's going pee-pee. Maybe he's sleepy. You should yell louder. Could you imagine that? Elijah's totally making fun of these guys. Finally, he's like, are you done yet? And they're like, yeah. And he just looks at the heaven. He says, Lord, I pray that you'd show these people that I'm here on your behalf. And I don't think that's what God answers, because the next thing he says, and that you are turning the people of God back to you. God's like, look, Elijah, whatever, bro. But now that you prayed the second part, I'll answer that one. It's not about you, man. It's about the people coming back to the Lord. And the Bible says that fire falls out of heaven, consumes the bull and the altar and the stones and the water and the sand. And all of the nation of Israel cries out. The Bible says falls on their face and cries out, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Immediately, the Lord speaks to Elijah, says, okay, drought's over. And Elijah prays, and the drought is over. Church, here's what happens. Think about this. Track with me. Imagine being in that situation, man. This is crazy. Crazy miracles have been going on. This dude has been 3.5 years, spoke to the sky, it did not rain. That's a miracle, right? He has this encounter with these prophets. He destroys them, 450. They kill these prophets, butcher them with swords, the Bible says, right? Fire comes out of heaven. He speaks to the sky again, and rain comes. And then Jezebel, the next chapter 19, verse 1, Jezebel hears about it, and she says, you're a dead man if I don't kill you by tomorrow. Now just think about this, church. If I was Elijah, I would like to say, I just went through all these miracles. I'd be like, Jezebel, who? I don't know who you think you're talking to, girl, because you obviously don't know who I serve. But church, Elijah doesn't do that. He hears that Jezebel's coming after him, and he runs. And he runs, and he sits under a tree, and he literally says, God, just kill me. I'm done. I'm done. Kill me. Done. God's like, you can die when I tell you you could die. But he has a visitation from an angel, and the angel cooks him a cake, and then the angel cooks him a second cake. And he says, get up and go to this place, because Elijah's not done yet, right? Let's pick it up in verse 9. Then he came there to a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He said, I've been very, very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Church, this is not what's going on. I've never even noticed this before. I was reading this early this morning. That is not what's happening. Back up one chapter. The entire nation of Israel, literally the day before this, had turned back to the Lord. Nobody's coming after Elijah except Jezebel. Look at what he says. The whole nation of Israel is against you. They, the nation of Israel, are trying to kill me. That is not what's going on. Isn't that crazy? Have you ever noticed that? This guy is completely paranoid. In a day after fire coming out of heaven. Wow. One day. So he said, verse 11, the Lord said, go forth, stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord was passing by. And a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. That is one heck of a wind. I've never seen wind break a rock in half. That's crazy, right? But the Lord was not in the wind. Everybody say this with me. But the Lord was not in the wind. Now we all know this, but don't read it like you know it. After the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing. When Elijah heard it, heard what? The gentle blowing. He wrapped his face in his mantle. Church, Old Testament mantle is it's not a fireplace mantle, right? It's that's what, when Elijah gets taken up in heaven, his what? Mantle falls, and Elisha takes up his mantle. It's the cloak. It was his, a sign of his anointing, his authority in the kingdom, right? So what's Elijah doing? He's depressed. He's manic. This guy's, he's crazy. He thinks people are killing him that are not trying to kill him. That's crazy to me, right? And what does he do? He hears the gentle blowing, and he wraps his face in his mantle. He takes the authority, the calling of God on his life, and I'm putting it back in front of my face. Elijah's reminding himself of what God's called him to do. Do you see it? When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out, stood in the entrance of the cave, and behold, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And then he said, look at how messed up this guy is. It's the same conversation. He's had the same conversation twice in like 4 minutes. He doesn't recognize that this is the Lord talking to him. Then he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Again, do you see this, church? The only person seeking his life is Jezebel. That's it. It's crazy. The Lord said to him, go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you have arrived, you shall anoint Hazael king over Aram, and Jehu the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint his prophet in your place. It shall come about, the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall put to death, and the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. Isn't this crazy? We all know this story. We've heard it preached probably. If you've been in church very long, you've heard this story preached many, many times. But it's so crazy how isolated we can get when we feel the enemy's coming at us. I'm the only one. Everybody's out to get me. Did you realize that's not true? It's not true. Now, there might be some truth there, right? Thinks Jezebel was going to kill him. She's like, you're a dead man. I'm going to get you. But he takes what one woman's threat and explodes into something that's just not real. And what snaps him back into reality, my beloved, is not a miracle. It's a whisper. Think about it. A miracle is not what he needs. He sees a wind blowing so hard that it's cracking rocks in half. Earthquake, fire, but the Lord's not in this stuff. It's in a whisper, a gentle blowing. And the gentle blowing is what draws Elijah out. And the Lord's like, look, you're not done. This is what you need to do. When you're done with this, now you're done. Now you can die. But he doesn't even die, right? He's taken up. Isn't that powerful? Do you guys see this? The secret place, the place of intimacy with the Father, is the absolutely most important thing in a believer's life. Amen. My beloved, the dunamis, power of God, signs, wonders, and miracles are an important part of the kingdom. We should be walking in them, but they won't keep you. Man, that's tough, but that's truth. Let's just raise your hands. How many people have ever experienced personally a miracle, like a straight-up miracle, or witnessed one, right? Like you had one happen to you, or you witnessed one, right? Hopefully everybody. For sure me, absolutely. No question about it. I mean, my goodness, everybody in this church, just a month ago, we had Steve's wife, was the doctor said, you're dead. And not only is she not dead, but they went, all this stuff that was supposed to be cancer, none of it was cancer. They found one little spot. Went in, snuck in, got it out. She's totally fine. There's a miracle right there. So here's the next question. How many people have seen a miracle and within a week you felt like you were just about to lose your mind? Right? Come on, church. Miracles ain't going to keep you. Anointings are not going to keep you. Gifts don't keep you. This is the truth. The secret place with the Father is what will keep you. The secret place with the Father. I know my daddy is with me. I know this is what he told me. This is what he told me, not what pastor told me, not what the prophet said. This is what daddy told me. Amen. Now, man, get a confirmation from a prophet. Amen. It's all good. But you, each one of us, you can hear the Lord and you need to hear the Lord. Is that all right? Matthew 6:6. I'm going to read this out of the Message. Yes, the Message translation. I think it's so good. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can, as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you'll begin to sense His grace. Matthew 6:6 and the Message. Isn't that so good? What I want you to do is find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. And again, church, the important thing is take that quiet place with you. Right? Take it with you. See, I think prayer, again, we could talk about prayer so much. There's so many different things. You know, we could talk about, you know, binding the devil and all these things. And man, we believe all that. I believe all that stuff. But my personal view in the Word of God, what I can see is that I think the most important thing in prayer, that's just my personal view, to me, I think it should be top three, no problem, is that a prayer life, a real prayer life, should change me on the inside. Right? Can we pray and bind this and rebuke that and move this? Absolutely, man. Go for it. Can I get amen? I just told you guys about David, right? We prayed for David. That thing is going to bow. COVID, bow now. He went from sick as a dog at 9 o'clock on a Wednesday night to ready to minister to God's people on Sunday morning. Right? Like sick as a dog, 2 days later, COVID free. Amen. Should we do that? Absolutely. 100%. But that's not secret place prayer. That's public prayer. Amen. Amen. Right? Real prayer, my beloved, will change me. Nothing around me might change yet, but if I change, then I start changing what's around me. I've said this before, y'all. Sometimes God, change this, change this, change this. He says, I'm going to change you, and then you go change that. I'm going to change you. You go change it. Right? Oh, Lord, take care of this demon. He goes, how about I straighten you out, and you go take care of it. It's true, y'all. Right? I've heard, and again, there's a mirror right here. I'm imagining it. I've heard so many people talk about how we don't have time. I don't have time to do this, Pastor. I don't have enough room in my house. I have kids. I have a dog. I have all these things, right? But look, if we can tell what's important to us by what we spend our time doing, right? One guy used to preach, all this guy preached on was money. He taught on giving, tithing. Oh my gosh, I'm blanking. Larry Burkett. Anybody used to listen to Larry Burkett? Remember that guy? Larry Burkett, man, that guy was a good teacher. All he taught was money. That's it. The last sermon he ever preached in his church, he died years ago now. But the last sermon he ever preached in his home church was this. He said this over the pulpit. Some of you are not going to like me after I say this, but this is what he said. He said, you show me somebody's checkbook, I'll tell you if they're saved or not. Show me somebody's checkbook, and I'll tell you if they're saved or not. Ouch. Ouch. Look at somebody, you're like, some of you are like moving around in your seat. You're like, ooh, man, that was. But I'll apply the same principle, my beloved. And it's not about being saved, right? Like saved, you're saved through faith by grace, man, okay? It's not about going to heaven. It's about getting heaven down to earth. Getting heaven down to earth, right? 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. W-E-A-K. Right? Not prayer, like reading off my grocery list. Oh, God, do this, do this, do this, do this. Jesus' name, amen. Like, should we ask God to do things? Absolutely. But it's like, you know what? Lord, what's on your heart today? What's on your heart? What's on your heart? I got lots of stuff, but you know what's on my heart. I want to know what's on your heart. I want to know what you see today. I want to know what's going on with you. Church, I was on Facebook yesterday, and some lady I don't even know, she's got two little kids. I don't even know what happened to these little kids, but two little kids, sick, really, really sick, that they were dying. The one, they were like twins or something. The little girl is recovering, but the little boy, the doctors are like, this little boy's not going to make it. And I don't even know this lady. And I was sitting in my dungeon at the house. That's where my office is, in the dungeon now. I got relegated to the dungeon. And all of a sudden, I started crying and praying for this little boy. And I'm embarrassed to say it's been a long time since that's happened. But I said, oh God, stir this back up in my heart. Let me never scroll by something on Facebook or hear somebody ask for prayer and just be like, oh yeah, I'll pray for you, sorry. Dude. I've got friends of mine now that are going through things in ministry, and I'll call them and say, man, let's pray right now. I pray with them, and they say, you know, you're the only pastor that's prayed with me. What are we doing? What are we doing? You know, can I get amen? Almost done here. I'm going to read you something from Oswald Chambers here, and we're done right here. Again, I'm reading through this book that he wrote all about the Sermon on the Mount and just his thoughts about it, and I think it's really good stuff. That's what he says. Prayer, says Jesus, is to be looked at in the same way as philanthropy. Again, philanthropy is giving, right? Your eyes on God, not people. Right? How many times have you all prayed for somebody that's sick and nothing happens and you get discouraged? 100 times, 1,000 times. You know what God says? Stop looking at people. Stop looking at people. All the great healers that have, if you study all the great people that have walked in your great healing power, every one of them have had people come, they pray for them, and nothing happens. Every one. Smith Wigglesworth. Read it, dude. You study that guy? All you hear about is all the miraculous stuff that happens with him, but he had dozens into hundreds of people over his 30 years, 40 years ministry that came to him, and nothing, he prayed, nothing happened. Catherine Coleman, all these people that walked in this power, you know what they say? People said to them, what happens if you come, somebody comes and gets prayer and nothing happens? What do you say? They say, next. I'm not healing you. Only God is healing you. I'm not healing you. So, like, we're going to pray. We're going to do what we got to do. But whether God chooses to move or he does not is not it's out of my control. Right? So, if you're sick, we're going to pray for you. If anyone among you is sick, let them come to the elders and they'll lay hands on them and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. Amen. I don't care who's sick. I don't care how many times we got to pray for you. We will pray for you until you get better. Because the Bible says that if we lay hands on you, the prayer of faith will heal the sick. Do you understand what I'm saying, church? You know, how many people have prayed for lost, you know, a loved one that's gone astray, right? How many times have we done that? And we watch them. We watch them going farther and farther and farther. And we get discouraged. He says, stop looking at people. Look to heaven. And call them home. It's powerful, man. Oswald goes on to say, watch your motive before God. Have no other motive in prayer than to know him. Church, if you get one thing out of this morning's sermon, this is what I want you to get. Prayer is about coming in agreement with God. It's coming, it's submitting myself. I'm humbling myself before the Lord. Lord, I don't care if you don't do one more thing. I just want to be under you. I want to be in your will. I want to be surrendered to you. I want to be surrendered. That's what I want to be. Prayer. Secret place, in tune with the Father. Amen. The statements of Jesus about prayer, which are so familiar to us, are revolutionary. Call a halt one moment and ask yourself, why do I pray? What is my motive? Is it because I have a personal secret relationship to God known to no one but me? Church, there's things that God stole me in my prayer closet that I'll never tell anybody. It's just for me. Right? The Pharisees were obliged to pray so many times a day, and they took care that they happened to be in the midst of the city when the hour of prayer came. Then in an ostentatious manner, they would give themselves to prayer. This is when Jesus says, don't be like the hypocrites who pray in the streets for everybody to see. Right? You think about the Muslim community, right? That's these three times of prayer. It doesn't matter where they are. They're going to get their mat out, and wherever direction Mecca is, that's where their mat's face, if you didn't know that, right? They pray to Mecca over in Saudi Arabia, wherever that is, right? That's what they do. It doesn't matter where they are. They will drop, boom, it's time to pray, boom. But the Pharisees were doing the same thing. This is what Jesus is talking about. And they made it a point, oh, man, we got to be out in the square in 20 minutes. It's prayer time. There wasn't anything going on in the secret place. Jesus says, you shall not be like the hypocrites. Their motive is to be known as praying men. And truly, they have their reward. Our Lord did not say it was wrong to pray in the corners of the streets, but he did say that the motives to be seen by men was wrong. Oswald finishes by this. He says, but you, when you pray, go into your inner room. Listen to this. It's so good. We're done right here. When you have shut your door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place. That is, get a place for prayer where no one imagines that that's what you're doing. Wow. Isn't that a good angle? Your secret place should be a place where you're praying where nobody thinks that's what you're doing in there. Yes, ma'am. Yes, Mary pondered in her heart. Absolutely. Thank you so much. For the recording, Mary pondered in her heart, right? And that's what we're talking about. Having a heart that's turned to heaven, right? Shut the door in that place and talk to God in secret. It is impossible to live the life of a disciple without definite times of secret prayer. You will find that the place to enter in is in your business, as you walk along the streets, in the ordinary ways of life, when no one dreams you're praying, and the reward is a revival here and a blessing there. Let's all stand to our feet. Father, we just thank you right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that every one of us, God, we will think about it this week. Man, do I have a secret life with God? Have I ever had a secret life with God? Can I say that the Lord told me this? Not like I felt this, which is okay, or I thought this, which is okay, but I'm talking like, you know, God spoke to me. God spoke to me. And I've heard some preachers preach, well, you know, hey, brother, most people don't actually hear God like that. Garbage. That's absolute garbage. Rubbish. Jesus says, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of another they won't recognize. The sheep respond to the shepherd's voice. So, Father, we pray right now that this week, God, that we, if we got to get up a little bit earlier in the morning, we got to stay a little bit later in the day, we got to steal away at lunchtime on our lunch breaks, whatever it is, Lord, that we take a little bit of time, get a notebook, probably not your phone because people can text you and all that kinds of stuff. Get an old-fashioned, right, like a pen and piece of paper. I just say, Lord, I want to hear you. I want to hear you. I believe you're my Father, and I believe you care about me, and I believe you want to speak to me right now, and I'm here to listen to you. Speak to me. And I want to encourage you, my beloved, no matter what you hear, write that in your heart, write it down. Show it to someone you know is mature in their walk. Say, man, I feel like the Lord showed me this. What do you think? Amen? That's the way we check it. I do the same thing. Still do it. Father, we thank you. We know. And Lord, I asked for me, if you want to jump on this one, church, this is me. I ask you, Lord, you forgive me for ignoring secret times with you. Lord, forgive me for thinking I'm too busy. Or I've grown enough. I know the Bible well enough. I don't really need secret times with the Lord anymore. I don't. Lies. Lies, lies, lies. So, Lord, I'm coming clean right now. Father, I'm coming clean. This very day, Father, the secret place is back active in this heart. Lord, we want to hear your voice. We need it more than ever, God. We need your voice more than ever, God. So, Lord, we just humble ourselves. We thank you for your mercies, for your kindness, for your promises. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, guys. Have an awesome week. We'll see you all Wednesday for prayer, 7:30. We had an awesome time last week, man. Just please, Facebook and YouTube, bless you guys. Guys, seriously, if you've never been to a prayer meeting in your life, just come. You can sit here and just watch and see what the Lord's doing. Amen. So, guys, have an awesome week. Bless you.